I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Remember when you said you were going to make me seem like an asshole, Jamie?
Well, I think you're doing just a fine job on your own.
Exactly. Yeah.
Boys here, and my name is James Miller, and I'm joined with...
I'm the Queen of England, who is the lizard person.
I'm the Queen of France. I dance around in my underpants.
Oh. All right.
That's a good one.
Settled. I'm actually Ethan Palmer, the Queen of France.
Yep.
I'm actually Peter O'Donoghue, the Queen of England.
I just wanted to mention that last week we did our Extra Life, so sorry for the delay. In the episode, we did have a one-week delay because we're doing sweet stuff for charity. But you can check out that charity link. We'll put that in the description below.
Sure. It's a bold promise, Jamie.
I can do that. I can do that if I remember to do that.
If you Google The Lore Boys and Extra Life, our page should come up. But also, it will be in the description.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And please donate. We're just really close to our goal, but not quite there yet.
And also, if you just go to twitch.tv/TheLoreBoys, if you feel like following that page, the link for the charity is there as well.
Yeah. We might upload the stream to YouTube at some point, but...
Remains to be seen. Yeah, we'll see about that.
Might need to edit it, because there's some stories I don't want everybody to know about on there, but it was a good time.
Thanks to everyone who showed up. Thanks to everyone who's listening now. We raised a good amount of money for the kids. We hit our goal.
Yep.
Just barely.
But... We are moments away from also 50,000 downloads, so thank you a ton. Moments away, Ethan.
How many moments?
One more call, and then we'll hit our goal.
All right. We're not continuing this podcast until this phone starts ringing.
It's a canned food drive.
Yeah. What's the longest we've gone with just being quiet on this podcast?
16 hours. We had our Twitch
stream. Ethan and I tried. Peter just can't shut up.
Jamie said it. I was just like dead silence. And Peter's like, well, let me think about this, actually.
Yes,
when you factor in daylight savings time, it's actually...
17 hours. So
today we're talking about Gex. It's a game from...
Hot Gex.
A while ago. From like.
So I've never played Gex. I'm very uninformed on Gex. You guys mentioned Gex. I was like, cool, let's talk about Gex.
So if someone's never seen it, imagine the first Geico commercial you saw, but the lizard that's trying to sell you insurance is dressed as James Bond and loves television.
Is the lizard from Gex? Is his name Gex? Are we going to get into this?
I think his name is Gex.
We're going to call him. We'll call him Gex. Is it Gex the Geico lizard? Gex.
He's always been called Gex.
Is it Gex the Geico lizard? Like, are they canonically the same person?
I don't know, but I haven't seen any evidence that they aren't.
So, Loreboy's canon.
Loreboy's canon. Gex and Geico take place in the same universe.
Yeah, for sure.
I think Gex is less...
This episode brought to you by Geico.
If anything, it would have to be... Geico would be his alter ego, because Gex is a very lazy lizard, and this Geico lizard, he seems like he really wants to sell some... insurance.
Oh, he wants to offer people the best rates on their insurance. You can save up to 15% by switching to Geico.
Okay.
And this Geico lizard, Gex's alter ego, it sounds like, really wants to make that happen.
Spy by night.
Yeah.
As someone who knows where this is going, I would guess that Gex's uncle was the guy who worked for Geico.
Oh, right. Okay. The Geico gecko, the one who's got the widow's peak. He's going a little bald. He wears like the brown Chesterfield suit.
Yeah.
That insurance.
Yeah. Because all I would think was maybe Gex is so lazy because he's exhausted from selling insurance all day and offering the best value to their customers all day.
Yeah.
Day in, day out, you know, seven days a week.
Well, maybe we should get into the story and then you guys can see how...
I'm pretty happy just, you know, continuing
to
theorize.
I'm almost done playing Raid
here.
Shadow Legends with this realistic 3D graphic.
Oh, my God.
Get to this afterwards.
Let me tell you guys about NordVPN, okay?
Yeah. Dollar Shave Club and underpants.
Right? You got a moment to talk about Skillshare?
Yeah. I'm so comfortable on this Casper futon right now.
Yeah.
Just a Casper mattress like leaned up against the wall.
It's like a heroin den. Like the folded mattress.
Now that you mention it, our recording studio is a lot like a heroin den.
Yeah, it's my apartment, so I hope
they're
so.
Always mad that we're waking them up.
Yeah.
Sorry, Danny. Please proceed.
You guys, if you haven't seen it, you can just picture that. It's like a James Bond lizard. It's an action adventure.
It's a gecko. I think we can say it's a gecko. Like, without the comparison to Geico, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knowing my lizards is an amateur herpetologist, herpetologist by hobby.
Yep.
I'd say it's a gecko.
He never blinks, so he has to lick his eyes to keep them moist, just like a real gecko.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so Gex is in 1995, so you can think of these.
That's old.
Yeah, we were four, so it's like these games that these games where you walk around and collect things, basically, and then to open up the door to the next level, stuff like that.
I've never played these games either, but I know that they were always kind of present at Blockbuster when I would go rent stuff with my buddies.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're good. The third one was the most popular, so if you ever did play one, it was probably the third one, but I think I played one or two on the N64.
Did they have hilarious subtitles like Bubsy did?
There's Gex, then there's Gex Enter the Gecko, and Gex 3 Deep Cover Gecko.
Deep Cover Gecko.
All three of them we will be talking about the stories of today.
So definitely a gecko is what we're saying.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is I was right. He is a gecko. Jamie was wrong.
Boom.
He is a gecko.
I never said he wasn't.
Well, there's no way to prove that. Yeah, it was implied.
All right.
Remember when you said you were going to make me seem like an asshole, Jamie?
Well, I think you're doing just a fine job on your own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't need you.
Explain. So before we get into 1, 2, and 3, I just wanted to talk about the studio that made it. Crystal Dynamics.
Made Tomb Raider.
Yeah. They did.
They're still around. They're still making Tomb Raider.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Cool.
Tomb Raider is still a game. I can confirm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Crystal Dynamics had been most known.
Which you can get on the Stadia.
Yeah. Crystal Dynamics have been most known for developing Legacy of Kain and Gex.
Yes. Yeah.
So do you know what was Legacy of Kain?
Legacy of Kain, there's two as far as I know. One of them is kind of like an isometric Diablo-style game where you play some kind of... He's like a...
You play Deckard Cain.
Yeah, you do. He's like a vampire guy. And it's very kind of Cthulhu-esque. The guy who plays Frollo, the villain from Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Tony J. He's also Megabyte in Reboot.
Okay.
He plays like this evil eye tentacle monster that you kind of serve.
Nice.
And then Legacy of Kain, it's currently like perpetually on ice because some fucking worthless corporation owns it now that all they want to do is make live service games. I don't know if it's Ubisoft or EA who's got it now.
I think it's Eidos. But
is Eidos still in it?
I'll get into the history of Crystal Dynamics and then that'll... But I honestly, like, going into this, I was going to count on Peter to know what Legacy of Kain was, but I didn't look it up.
It's Soul Reaver, and then Legacy of Kain, I think, is the second one.
Good.
Yeah, something like that.
We're getting to know each
other. Sure, sure.
I played them on PS1, or at least one of them did.
Yep.
Between bouts of Bruce Willis apocalypse.
I read books and play D&D.
So, Peter, you know your
fucking
stuff.
Fucking nerds.
You know your stuff, Peter. Because that was my next point. I was going to say they made those two games. 2003, they took over Tomb Raider. So,
okay, cool.
You're ahead of me. They were based in San Francisco, and then it was acquired by Eidos in 1998.
Okay.
And Square Enix acquired Eidos in 2009.
That I know.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it became a subsidiary of Square Enix. So it goes Crystal Dynamics, Eidos, Square Enix.
So, so Square owns it.
Yeah.
Owns the IP.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, yeah, equally money grubby.
Yeah.
That would explain why we're not getting a Soul Reaver game anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're too busy on Final Fantasy XIV.
Honestly, as someone who's really into WoW right now, Final Fantasy XIV looks pretty cool.
I've heard really good things. As far as MMOs go, I've heard very, very good things about Final
Shadow,
Fantasy
Shadow Sword or Shadow Keep or whatever the fuck expansion just came out for. It's supposed to be incredible.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
Yeah, and there's like these new raids too that you only need like 10 people, which is really much more manageable than 40 people.
40 is nuts, dude.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It was part of the Charmer Classic, but it's one of those things that's like, God, it's hard to find 40 people. But it builds communities like the guild, guild that you're in, where like you do develop these like really strong bonds with people because you're forced to be with them. You need to be friends with 39 people to make this happen, or you need to have a network, I guess.
We have two raid groups, and we're working on our third in our guild. So.
Of 40 mans?
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit.
The second group's doing Anixia right now as we talk.
So. Oh, cool.
Well, best of luck to them.
Yeah.
So if I start a character, like I'm in the guild, level one, that's cool,
I can get you into raid group three, probably.
Okay, as a level one. Cool.
That's cool.
I'm not going to level it.
Yeah, as soon as you're attuned.
Leveling is the boring part of WoW, so. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do the raiding.
If you log in, I'll let you put yourself on follow to me and just by through how much I played, eventually you'll hit 60.
I'll never get AoE'd down. No, that will never happen.
No, never. So the Gex games, we're talking about Gex.
Yes, sorry. Jamie brought it to World of Warcraft again.
Well, I kind of did. Normally I'd be listening into Group 2's raid, and I'm kind of wondering how they're doing right now. They beat Ragnaros for the first time this week. But anyways, Gex is largely inspired by American TV culture. So he looks like James Bond. He always contributes...
Well, that's British.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's British.
Yeah. He looks like James Bond, but he's into American TV.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Crystal Dynamics, they're an American company?
Yeah.
San Francisco.
Yeah, San Francisco. Right. I was like, I don't know. I just said...
Yeah. I was like, I asked, and I was like, I don't know. And I was like, oh, wait, he just said this.
So
we're good at podcasting.
Gex, he also contributes to the games with wisecracking remarks laced with media and pop culture references.
Oh boy, I'm sure those games are infinitely
I'm sure they aged well, yeah.
I didn't bother to look them up, but now I wish I had.
Yeah, that's
We'll watch them afterwards. We'll watch some memes, and then we'll watch...
This new weapon's hotter than Britney Spears.
Oh, like, we gotta watch...
Was she around in 95? I don't even know.
Not yet.
She was 13.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't... She might have been around. Was she a child star?
I don't know. No.
Childish star?
So. Another thing we have to watch after this is watch Tom Brady kiss his son.
We do got to watch Tom Brady kissing his son.
Tom Brady.
The pain in Peter's voice when he consented to that.
All right. Okay, let me get through this really, really quick. I got to tell it to our listeners. Okay, so Tom Brady's getting a massage. He's on his back. He's shirtless. He's naked. He's got a towel over his junk. There's a personal trainer, and he's rubbing his old pec. And this is for a documentary or something showing the lifestyles of Tom Brady, our wonderful Patriots guy. And then his son comes in, and his son... is like, Dad, can I what did he want to do? He's like, I want to go change my fantasy football lineup, can you help me with this? And then his dad's like, I'll be there in a second, give me a kiss. And then the son gives him a kiss on the lips, like a little quick peck. And then Tom Brady's like, nah, come over here, give me a good one. Meanwhile he's like naked, towel over his junk, getting a massage. And
like the camera operator has to quickly pan like so the towel is not in the shot all of a sudden, like
it's that's fucking weird.
And then his son has to give like it's not like they're not opening their lips, but it's just like a prolonged.
It was not an open mouth kiss, so that makes it okay.
No, but just to paint a picture,
yeah,
it's like a prolonged like a 5 second stick.
5 seconds?
Well, maybe that's
you've got like that sailor and the nurse at the end of World War II with Tom Brady and his son.
Yeah. And then like
that would be some weird surreal art for this episode.
Gex. Tom Brady kissing a little boy.
Yeah. Then this kid like wipes his mouth and then walks out the room, and then Tom has to ask his assistant to help deflate his balls, but
yeah.
Yeah. No,
speaking of jokes that age well.
Yeah, anyways, that's messed up. I just saw the video today and I can't get it out of my head.
So, go on Lively.
Watch something about Tom Brady kissing his son.
It's so weird.
Go on Lively. Watch someone get decapitated. That'll purge everybody.
Yeah, you just jam some new horror in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't know which is worse, honestly, but
yeah. So Gex the lizard, he appears in.
This is relevant.
Yeah, he's an unlockable character in North American and European versions of Hotshots Golf 2.
Cool.
Okay, he was not.
You can unlock him as a character.
But he was Gex first. He wasn't the lizard in Hotshots Golf 2.
No. Yeah. No. You know, yeah, okay, they were just like, you know what we should make with this golfing
Let's
lizard?
Make a spin-off game.
Let's make a slacker gecko spy. Yeah.
No, it was after the fact.
Okay. Because
he was the face of Crystal Dynamics. Like, on their logo is Gex.
Oh, yeah.
Gex.
Is it still?
I'm not sure because they're Tomb Raider now, so I'd feel like Lara Croft and her triangle titties will be on there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
They made her into a truck, did you see?
Yeah. I was going to say exactly that. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. No one's going to know what we're talking about year.
The logo, it just says Crystal Dynamics.
Okay.
I'm really hoping that we can do nothing but make dated references.
Triangle titties as a truck up. Is because Elon Musk led a truck and had a demo this week that made his stock plummet, and it looks like an old warthog from Halo. But anyways, Gex was in Hotshots Golf 2 and also in Mad Dash Racing as an unlockable character.
I've never heard of Mad Dash Racing.
It's like a racing game, but mad dashing.
Okay, cool.
But you dash madly.
Yeah.
While racing.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're racing, but you also have the option to dash, but you can only dash if you're doing it madly.
Okay.
So yeah. Gex 1, 2, and 3, how many million copies do you think it sold?
Combined?
Yeah.
If he was their mascot?
On all systems.
It probably sold a hell of a lot.
5.6.
I'm going to say 10 million overall for the series.
Put them together, guys. 15.
15 million?
Really?
Damn, yeah. Dude.
15 million.
That's good sales.
That's really Gex
good.
3.
For 95? Like, come on, man. Yeah.
Well, it goes all the way to the last game in 1999, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, still. Yeah. Like, it. Game systems back in the day cost, like, in today's dollars, they were like $850, like
which
the SNES.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like Gex is one of those games that, people, like, kind of know about because of this.
You've played it, right?
I've played it. I rented it for, I think, my N64 or my PS1. It's so long ago, I can't remember.
So, 95, the N64 came out in 97 or 96?
I got my Sega Genesis when I was 5 and my N64 when I was 7.
So that would have been 1998.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
so
yeah.
I would have played it late.
I think 97 or 90. Yeah, 97 maybe-ish, but... So Gex 1, I don't know if you looked this up, and I might be just like throwing you a big curveball here.
Yeah.
But do you know what systems it launched for? Or was it?
It's PS1, right?
I'm not sure. I know it was on PS1.
But Gex 1 was on PS1.
I'm pretty sure it's on the PS1.
Was the PS1 on out in 95?
I don't know.
But
you
guys
so.
Are looking at that 50 million, right? The one what it sold the most on was Gex 3 that came out in 1999.
No, I'm just wondering what system the first one was out on. No, yeah. I've forgotten about that. But it's just because I don't know if the PS1 was out in 95. That seems like way too.
Google it while I say this next sentence.
Jamie, pull up the clip.
Yeah.
By which I mean Ethan, because Jamie's hosting.
So, yeah, Gex sold a combined total of 50 million copies, over 15 million. And Gex 3 was the best selling, shipping over 6 million copies. And it also became the best-selling PlayStation adventure game of 1999.
This is fucking this is nuts. I don't know a single person on the news who's ever played a Gex game. And there's like 15 million copies out there, like what, like haunting used game stores now? No.
It's since the lizard people are running our society. They bought them all in bulk and kept them to themselves.
Yeah, artificially inflated.
Yeah.
Like they do with those like airport like Christian novels.
It does go
buys 100,000.
It really does go to show you how much people will fucking eat up dumb, like, vacuous pop culture references, though.
Yeah.
Like, looking at you, Family Guy, like, just, like, if you just mention stuff and people are like, oh my god, I know that! Like, yeah, just, like, they'll buy that shit.
Oh, Stewie, Brian,
if you like Family Guy, that's fine.
No.
It's a critique of Family Guy, none of you.
Yeah.
PlayStation 1 came out in 1994.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. I'm very surprised.
So it probably happened. And as we've said in the past.
It was my ankle.
Yeah.
I don't know if it came through on the mics, but my foot made it sound like a farty noise.
Sounded like Ethan just ripped a new asshole.
The biggest ass.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of people taking in vacuous pop culture references, that says a lot for Gex himself as a character.
Okay.
In Gex 1 in 1995, this is how it starts. Gex and his family lived in Maui, Hawaii.
Okay,
cool.
Beautiful location.
Yep, so you got... And it's a lizard.
Our geckos are probably native there, yeah.
Yep.
Aloha, Gex.
It's a lizard family, too.
Well, what does that mean?
Hello and goodbye.
Hello and goodbye, Gex? Yeah, why are you saying hello and goodbye? It doesn't make sense to say hello and goodbye at the same time.
I'm just passing through. I opened up a screen door, and he's drinking out of a pineapple.
Yep.
Oh, hello, goodbye. Yeah. Okay, that's what you say when someone's drinking out of a pineapple and walking through a screen
washroom.
Door.
So Gex is still a child at this point, and he's living with his mother and his three siblings, and his father is away.
Lex, Dex, and Max, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's Huex, Luex, and Duex.
And so these guys are... His mother, three siblings, are living in Hawaii. His father is away working at NASA.
Cool.
Okay, yeah.
They have,
yeah,
like, a bunch of space shit on the islands. Yep. Like, why is he away? Where is he?
Where at NASA, though? Like, is he working at...
Florida?
Like, Cape Canaveral? Is he working, like, ground control, Austin?
He's not in Hawaii, and he's working at NASA. Is what we know.
Okay. So Houston or Hawaii or Cape Canaveral, most likely.
Or on the moon.
Or maybe on the moon, yeah. Hey, totally off topic, but a super cool fact I learned about Neil Armstrong today.
Yeah.
The records of what Neil Armstrong's, the personal effects that he brought to the moon, are completely lost. And there was a while where he left like the expedition to go off for a bit, and like there's no record of what he did. What? But most people think he left his late daughter's bracelet on a in a crater on the moon.
Oh no!
Wow! Yeah.
Isn't that amazing though? Like,
I mean, that's a, it's, honestly it's, that's kind of really cool for her.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, if I was dead and someone left my necklace on the fucking moon,
hell
I
yeah,
think,
like,
that'd
yeah.
be great. Actually,
yeah, like, he probably left it there as a memory. Right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like no one can ever reach these heights, and you have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like aww. You're yeah. Like bittersweet, but like I thought that was like such an amazing thing. Like, and it's not confirmed, obviously, because yeah. like he's passed away, and like the records are gone. Nobody knows what he brought with him.
Neil Armstrong died.
Yeah, he passed away a few years ago, I think.
Shit,
Buzz Aldrin's still kicking.
Buzz Aldrin's
punching
still
journalists.
Yeah, punching Nazis.
Yeah, no.
Punching moon conspiracy.
He was a conspiracy yeah, theorist, conspiracy not a Nazi. Yeah. Yeah,
told him you didn't land on the moon. You punched him in the face.
Yeah, just what he really deserved it though. Watch Buzz Aldrin punch and Tom Brady kisses his son.
Yeah, yeah. Watch you got some homework
punch
tonight.
Tom Brady's son.
Yeah.
Watch Tom Brady kiss a moon conspiracy theorist yeah. on the mouth. While getting a massage.
Damn it. I punched Tom Brady's son and kissed Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit. It happened again. So
what a mess that scene would be.
Oh, yeah.
One day, Gex's mother gets a phone call saying that Gex's father and his coworkers had died in a rocket explosion.
Oh no.
So
they,
probably
Cape
Canaveral.
They got
Canaveral.
Apollo 11?
Would have been Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
Was it Apollo 13?
No,
Apollo 13 is a Tom Hanks movie.
No, your guess is as good as
that.
Challenger blew up on re-entry, but there was one that blew up on its way out. Like,
I mean,
there's later.
Yeah, there's a couple that have, yeah. but manned ones, I'm not sure.
Okay. So this would leave any kid really in a bad place, right? So what did Gex do? He bottled up his emotions and started to watch TV.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So.
Oh okay.
So he just week
my
after week
pony,
would watch.
He started hanging.
Pony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He started hanging out on 4chan. Like.
Yeah.
2006 4chan or like current 4chan.
Just picture
they're both
a,
bad.
Like a. Big leather chair.
Yeah, when I was 14, I didn't know better.
Yeah.
You're telling me.
A beautiful island, and he is just sitting in the dark in a leather chair with just the glow of a TV on his face.
Okay,
okay, cool.
Like it's like in The Simpsons where his shadow gets like burned into the wall behind him from like sitting there watching TV for
basically,
too long. Yeah.
Basically that, yeah.
Okay, Jesus.
So he's really, really into the TV, and this never really gets resolved either. That's just... How
yeah,
is
no,
now.
He his father dies. He clearly has a mother who's too busy raising four kids on her own to give him the time of day, which is understandable. She's lost someone too, but he's, you know, just internalizes all these problems and just bottles them up and like never goes to therapy.
No, and there's no resolution. Like the rest of the three games is just about Gex loving TV.
Hell yeah, dude.
Right.
I mean, the truth of it is, TV is better than counseling, so.
I'd say so.
If you're having emotional problems, just turn on the tube and forget it all. Just let the sound of it just drown out the voices in your head.
That's it. That's it. Whenever you kick the bad guy's ass in the last scene or whatever, you can just kick him from behind you, stick out your thumbs, and go, hey.
No, you turn around and you punch him, but like downwards, like you would do to a jukebox.
Yeah. He is the cat to your elf.
Yeah, exactly.
Delicious, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and finally eaten. I love the last episode of Alf where he finally eats that cat.
Oh, yeah, it's just like 30 minutes of
just
the
goring out on it.
It's weird.
Just like teething away at the sinew. And
the true last episode of Alf is even weirder. Doesn't he get like arrested by the FBI and then no one ever got any resolution because the show got canceled?
Something like
that. I do remember that.
Something fucked up like that.
Speaking of no resolution, Gex doesn't get a resolution to his father's death.
Yeah.
He's just into TV. One day his mom says, hey, we got great news. Before that, week after week, Gex is watching TV. His mother's like, we got to do something about this.
He's watching too much TV, this kid.
Yeah, so she sold the TV.
What am I supposed to do? Talk to him?
Sell the TV.
Yeah.
So the only thing that he loves, we're going to sell that. And this infuriated Gex so much that he left his home and never returned.
Oh, was it like that WoW freakout kid who puts a remote control up his butt?
Pretty much, except he's a lizard, and he maybe put the TV remote up his butt.
Okay, cool.
And it didn't turn the TV on because there was no TV anymore.
Right, because it's been sold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, she sold the TV without the remote. Somebody's going to be pissed when they get that thing home.
So Gex moves out, and he lives in his friend's garage, and he takes odd jobs and just watches TV.
God, he's such a fucking bum.
Yeah, he sounds like a bum.
What is he, like, going to condemned, like, crack dens and pulling copper wire out of the walls.
Yeah.
Is that the game?
He's sitting on Casper.
The puzzle is how much money can you fucking squeeze out of this fucking abandoned
house? He's sitting
on
Casper mattresses folded in half against a wall.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I kind of think of him, you know, like every town, at least every town that's like not super affluent, has like the scrap metal guy with his like pickup truck with all the ovens in it.
I mean, you say even affluent, like they have those in Montreal.
Is that Gex?
Yeah, pretty much. He's just doing old jobs, odd jobs. So
I did have this very different image where I was like, oh, it's like a sexy lizard spy who's wearing a tuxedo from the box art. And
yeah, that's all I knew.
I had no idea he was like a bum who loved TV and just like.
So that's where we get to our next point. One day, Gex's mother found him and had fantastic news. Gex and his family had inherited over $20 billion from his late Uncle Charlie from Geico.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
He's not from Geico in the game, but we figured it out.
Loreboy's canon.
Yeah.
That 15% you save is going towards
$20 billion.
Some like soon to be spoiled rich kid who's going to bum around on people's couches. So.
Charlie's been embezzling it.
Yeah. So with the money, Gex moves back to Hawaii, buys a mansion, and gets the biggest TV he can.
Okay. And back in 1996, it was like, wow, 22 inches.
Unreal.
Yeah, man, it took six guys to move it.
Yeah, that's it.
900 pounds.
Yep. So now we're at the end of the game booklet or whatever this lore comes from, and this is the beginning of the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is just it? Yeah. Is he even a spy? I know nothing about Gex, but I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm getting taken for a ride right now. I'm enjoying it.
How can we just start here in his fucking mansion?
His dad dies in a rocket accident. And mysterious Uncle Charlie gives him billions of dollars.
He presumably gets $4 billion. If the mom splits it evenly with her and her kids, which is more than anyone should have.
Yeah.
I've ranted about this before, and I won't get into it again, but... And now he's just like, I bought the biggest house, I have a mansion in Hawaii, and like, come at me.
I just watch TV,
Come at me problems, I'm going to solve them for your video game.
Yep.
Cool.
So as seen in the game's opening, Gex is watching his enormous TV, sitting in his chair in a suit, and a fly buzzed in and around his head. And Gex's tongue shoots out, grabs that fly and swallows it.
$4 billion, you're still eating bugs, eh?
Yeah.
Well, that was a valuable bug, because unknown to Gex, the fly was actually a metallic transmitter.
Okay.
Suddenly,
it was like a bug.
Oh, it's a spy bug.
It was like the Reds have bugs in the walls.
It was a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Suddenly, Gex's remote jammed and the TV went blank.
He won't like this. I spent $4 billion on that TV.
It's my face.
What was
red.
The cutting edge?
It didn't come with a remote.
What's the cutting edge? Like LCD TVs back then or something like that?
Plasma. Or whatever.
Was plasma around in 95?
Oh, no, it was those fucking CRT projector TVs.
Yeah,
they were like
the
twice,
rear projection.
Like twice as heavy as a regular CRT.
Yeah.
The one that, never mind. I was going to say the one that Corey Burchome had in his house, but nobody listening at home is going to know who
it
that is.
It was a big, boxy, heavy TV in a childhood friend's home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All his dad did was watch NASCAR on it.
I do remember that.
A friend of mine had the same thing, but his dad would play Gran Turismo.
His dad
for him,
just like for projector TVs, old dudes in cars.
I guess.
He would wear his denim jacket, drink his 0.5% beer, and yell at the TV.
Yeah,
This
is a real redneck Vankley Kill that we're talking about here.
So suddenly, it jams. The TV goes blank, and a huge hand shoots out of the screen and grabs Gex by his neck.
Oh, no.
And
he
gets poltergeisted and pulled into the TV.
Pulled into the media dimension.
Oh!
And he's like, now he's king shit here. He's like, oh, I know your guys' shit. And they're like, I don't know what's happening on Channel 3 because I'm from Channel 5.
Yeah.
Cool. This is much more surreal and strange than I had imagined.
Than a lizard living in a mansion.
I was thinking lizard spy, which makes a lot of sense when you think about it. They're cold-blooded. Can't be picked up on infrared.
Word.
They have a prehensile tongue, which they can use to reach like difficult buttons to press.
He's a gecko. He can stick to the ceiling.
Yeah. If an enemy chases him, he can just ditch his tail.
Yep.
That's a decoy.
Exactly.
So, speaking of cold...
6 months cooldown on that ability.
Cold lizards. This one, the one who pulled him in, was the cold claw belonging to Rez, the overlord of the media dimension, who had intended to make Gex his new mascot and conquer the world through propaganda, I guess.
Okay,
it's
this
not
is
really
getting
mentioned.
Pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah. But Rez, the bad guy, I looked him up. He's a bipedal lizard that looks like he's a half cyborg. like he's got a metal face, but you can see he's got like the green scales like around his shoulders and legs and stuff, but it's like a lot of his pieces are switched out for metal pieces.
Okay, yeah. cool.
Yeah. So he's from the media dimension, so I guess that's why he's a cyborg.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so is cyborg, is the Borg part of it just any genetic material, or is it exclusively humans? Is a dog with a prosthetic, like a robot arm, a cyborg?
Or
is
it like a cyborg dog?
Or like a cy-dog.
I wasn't even sure what the Borg was the...
Well, cyber would be...
Cyber, okay.
The technical, right?
Oh, cyber organism, probably. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I said Borg, but it was probably org.
Yeah.
Cyber org.
So asked and answered.
Well, we're guessing based on what we know about
English. No, that's science. That's how they come to these things.
Don't
for
you
sure.
fucking Google it, listeners, and send it to us. We got that on our
no,
own.
No, please do. We love it when you interact with us.
Yeah. I can't even
for other reasons, not the cyborg thing. We solved that puzzle.
I can't remember things that I've said 30 seconds ago, but we figured that out.
You said Rez.
Yeah, no, they're from San Francisco, apparently. So Rez, he's the bad guy. He brings him in.
So he wants Gex to be the mascot of the media dimension?
Yeah, we don't really...
He's like, I can't do it. I got this weird, gross robotic arm.
Yeah. So that's his motivations, but Gex is just kind of dropped into one channel, and then this is where the game really begins.
Okay.
And he
is
just...
the first boss Regis Philbin?
I don't know any of the bosses, but yes, I hope so.
Yeah. Four voice canon.
Yeah, exactly.
Second boss is Pat Sajak.
And at 50% health, Pat Sajak summons Vanna White, and then you have to fight both of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, no, you actually get his health bar all the way to zero, and then it refills.
Oh, it's like the Twin Princes in Dark Souls.
Yeah, so okay. Like technically 50%, but like it not
Pat
visually.
Sajak crawling around. Yeah. On his back.
Who's the old guy on The Price is Right from before?
Bob Barker.
Yeah. It's Bob Barker, and once you kill him, his skin peels apart, and Drew Carey crawls out.
Homer Simpson's a boss.
Yeah,
we're clearly showing our age, which Jamie dropped earlier, which is 28, and like we don't know what the fuck was on TV in 1995. I know. The Price is Right was
guaranteed.
I'm pretty sure Wheel of Fortune was.
Absolutely,
yeah. Probably. Yeah,
for sure Simpsons was totally on as well. You said
Simpsons was on. Yeah.
So, without knowing too much about
Philbin, though, I don't know. I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, he must have done something before Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? Yeah.
Well, he did The View. Have. It's that was his whole thing. He has his morning show before the...
That was Regis and Kelly.
With Regis and Kelly. That was after.
After Millionaire.
Or not The View,
after
Millionaire.
Meredith took over Millionaire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what he did before Millionaire, but I'm sure he did something because he came in like... I'm sure he was like, this is our celebrity host.
Next week, how about you do Regis Philbin?
The lore of Regis Philbin? Yeah.
I've got one weird factoid quickly just about Regis Philbin.
Sure.
Just, I'll get through this quickly.
You don't want to save this for the Regis Philbin episode?
His son, I remember his son worked at the Pentagon and got hurt on 9/11 in that when the plane crashed into the building.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dude, I was reading a lot of stories this morning of people who are heroes in 9/11. But anyway, I'm going to keep getting off on a tangent. I want to talk about Gex.
Was Gex a hero on 9/11?
Well, it's an episode about dumb, like, consumerist media stuff. And we're being dumb consumerist media whores right now.
I guess so, yeah.
We're in character, okay?
So now is the game, right? He gets pulled in. He has to go through different... remotes in different... He has to find hidden remotes in different channels, I guess.
Okay, so the Mario classic, like...
Stars.
Grass World, Fire World, Ice World, Desert World...
I can tell you them.
Different channels, right?
It's Disturbing Cemetery, Odd Cartoon Land, Enormous Jungle, Ancient Chinese...
What channel is Disturbing Cemetery?
Welcome to
the Goth Network.
Yep. Like,
Odd Cartoon Land is great.
Yep.
So I'm going to start calling my apartment.
I mean, that's Adult Swim, right?
Yeah, like, it is.
Yeah.
Ancient Chinese Village.
I don't like that channel.
I'm sure that level's aged well.
Yeah.
Mysterious Planet X. Rezopolis, which is probably where... Rez is from.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, Rezopolis. Okay. I was thinking residential.
And that's
Opolis.
The capital of the media dimension. So it's not said that it's channels, but I kind of just projected that onto it, much as an old CRT projector TV would project
as much as I don't know what Gross Cemetery would be as a channel.
Yeah.
I don't know what Chinese Village would be as not a channel. You know what I mean? Like, that has to be a channel that's getting picked up that is in Chinese because they're in Hawaii, so they're getting something from Japan.
Oh, yeah. It's like, accidentally. Like,
yeah.
Accidental. Like,
yeah. We're putting, like, these could just be all the sets of a million different places, right? We're putting channel onto it right
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the levels. It's the desert level, the Mushroom Kingdom level.
Fire, there. Desert, China.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird graveyard.
Classic Mario formula.
Fire, desert, China, goth.
Cemetery. Cemetery. So Gex gets all the way to the media dimension capital, Rizopolis, and collects all the hidden remotes on the way.
Only if you're good at the video game.
Yeah.
If you're not good at the video game, he doesn't do any of these
things.
If you
can't 100% Gex, you turn this podcast off right now.
As someone who's never played, as two people who've never played Gex before.
That seems like a weird limitation to set up, though. If we did every episode like that, oh, well, if you're not good, stop the podcast.
No, stop the podcast right now.
Yeah. Going forward, every fucking episode, like, I don't know, like, I'll do another Battletech episode one day, and I was like, listen, if you can't 100% Gex, you turn off this fucking podcast.
It's just Gex,
right now.
Like, 5% of our viewers could listen to the whole Dark Souls thing. Like,
yeah. No, it's just Gex, Jake.
Just Gex.
Gex for every game.
Oh,
yeah. So, like, if you could be Gex, you can listen to Dark Souls episode, no problem.
It's a precursor game.
But if you can't 100% Gex, get out of here with the Dark Souls
episode. There's 50 million copies out there. I don't know how many are still in good condition.
There can't be that many people on Earth.
You find them.
Certainly not.
So Gex makes it to Emperor Rez's inner sanctum, and he battles him head-to-head using...
Oh, he's an emperor now.
Yeah.
What's the attack in this game? Is it a... It's like a stompy platformer like actual Mario, or...
No, it's probably like a press circle to spin.
So I played what I think was the third one, and you walk around in 3D, and there are platforms, and I think you had a laser gun.
Okay.
But it's been so long that I couldn't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. Using one of his own mechanical bugs, like Emperor's bugs, Gex defeats him. So he makes him swallow his own bug, I guess, and then...
Okay, so it's like he shoots something at you, you press circle to spin and knock it back at him, kind of thing,
Yeah, whenever the little shrub comes out and shoots a Deku nut at you, you bring your shield up.
Yeah, exactly. Or when you fight Ganon at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Ganondorf.
So, Emperor Rez transforms into a ball of energy and escapes.
Okay.
Well, that's a weird twist.
Finn. End of Gex 1.
Finn.
So, wait, Finn? Wait, is he still in the TV? Did he get out?
Like... He escapes. He will be the bad guy in the other two games.
No, Gex himself.
Oh, we assume he does, yeah.
Okay, so that presumably the setup in Gex 2 is he's going to eat another metallic fly and get pulled into another television, another $4 billion television screen.
Guys, I have to be clear, transparent about this. This is the first time I think I've written an episode a week in advance and not thought about it since I wrote it.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot what happens in Gex 2, so I'm going through this with you.
Sick.
Okay, very good.
2 years later, it's 1998, it's actually 3 years later in real life, but 2 years later in the game, Gex is still living in Maui, and
it was the development cycle, not the release cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And he greatly enjoys watching TV still.
Okay. So he definitely
despite the fact I was almost killed in my TV 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Just can't shake it.
Well, I mean,
he conquered it.
Yeah, that's it.
True. He did beat Lord Media.
Nothing makes you feel alive more than coming so close to death.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yep. Maybe he just wants to join his father, really. And then he's kind of putting himself back in front of it. And like he knows there is a risk. It's like self-harm kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's dangerous behavior. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. He needs help.
Gex
is
about addiction.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
he
it.
Needs, he needs help. Like the
no,
whole,
yeah,
like,
that's it. On the like suicidal ideation, maybe, but yeah.
Yeah. Crystal Dynamics never really helped this man, but
no, yeah.
Or this lizard. Eventually, every day starts to seem like the same day over and over again.
Is it Groundhog Day?
No. He's just watching.
It becomes his favorite movie on TV.
Yeah.
It plays once and then it never stops playing.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
It's the only thing that's ever on TV, channel.
That's why it feels like the same day.
Yeah.
Because he's watching Groundhog Day 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Somebody just like put it on VCR mode or like DVD mode and then he never knew to switch it back. He's like, every channel.
He doesn't have a remote.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
he's
it. Yeah.
He's great at finding them, can't use them.
Yeah.
He's just getting bored. He's on the verge of insanity, even, from watching TV all day, every day.
Makes sense.
One day, the TV goes blank for a few seconds, and then flashes Emperor
Rez's...
Does
he, like, snap back to reality, like, sweat and puke on himself and just, like, remember where he is?
Yeah, he might as well. And then Emperor Rez is flashing on the screen.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That can't be good.
This, like, cyborg lizard. So right away, two government agents show up at Gex's house. Knock on the door. And they ask for Gex's help. Gex like, nah, I'm busy. I gotta watch.
I'm busy watching this weird guy that I made eat a bug once flash on my television screen.
I'm pretty busy having my TV threatened.
And then he says, I've already saved the universe once.
Yeah.
Imagine knocking on the guy's door. He's watching TV. Only watches TV all day.
Just sitting there in his underpants, like old pizza boxes, just like strewn about him, like
ankle deep in empty cans.
It's just the Netflix sign. Like, are you still watching?
Yeah, I've saved the world already.
No, I'm good.
We need you, Gex, now more than ever.
And then one of the agents beats Gex over the head with a crowbar, knocking him unconscious.
Okay.
Okay.
Classic.
Yeah, it's secret agents. They've got a lot of technology, so they used a crowbar.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, most spies...
Their technology is so advanced. How did they get metal so hard?
When did Half-Life 1 come out?
1998.
This is in 1998, so maybe they used a crowbar.
Oh, that might be it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Most spies are shanghaied into the industry, actually.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Oh, from the Chinese channel?
The Chinese channel,
The Chinese channel. Chinatown channel, yeah.
Yeah. So they knock him out. When he wakes up, he realizes he's in an interrogation room. And the two agents ask Gex what he knows about Emperor Rez. What do you know about Emperor Rez? And then who's the good cop?
I'll be a good cop.
Okay.
What do I say? Hey, man, look, like, we're on your side here, Gex. I'm like sick of being here, honestly. I want to go home and watch some TV. Do you like TV, Gex?
Yeah, and then Gex says, yeah, I love TV, and then he tells him everything he knows about Emperor Rez.
cracked immediately.
Yeah. Like there was nothing. Like he just said everything right away. And then they ask him for his help.
It's almost like he's not a sleeper cell enemy of the state, and he's just like, no, I do want to help, but I also want to just go home and watch
just
TV.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You don't have to yell at me, bad cop. Like, this is weird. Let me just, I'll help, and then I'll go home.
You're going to tell us everything you know. Yeah. You're never leaving here. It's like, I'll tell you, man. He's like, all right.
I've done nothing wrong. Should I call a lawyer? I didn't think I was a suspect here.
All I said is I didn't want to save the universe again, and then you hit me with a crowbar. Yeah.
I feel like I'm the one who's been wronged here.
Yeah. I'm taking you to court.
Yeah.
I have $4 billion.
Yeah. You better be ready for the legal shitstorm of your life, my man.
Yeah, so Gex tells him everything, and then they ask him for his help, and then one of the agents reaches under the table and pulls out a briefcase full of cash and a secret agent suit. Gex agrees to help them. So I don't know why the cash is anything.
More money, you say?
Maybe he's like ordering a lot of pay-per-view. I don't know.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he ordered Groundhog Day 24 times a day for...
Yeah.
$4 billion really burns away when you watch that much Bill Murray.
Well, he kept calling it like Bill Murray's private number to see if he can get him to come to his house and do a live reenactment. That's why Bill Murray's so hard to get in movies. He's so often at Gex's place in Maui.
He's the next celebrity I'm going to harass to come on the show.
Yeah.
We did Nick Cannon, Elon Musk.
That's why he was missing for the whole middle part of Space Jam.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. He was helping out Gex. That was probably around the same year. So.
Wait. Okay. Was Danny DeVito the voice of the Monstar boss?
Yeah.
He was. I remembered him saying, I don't remember Dan Aykroyd being in this. I was like, that was Danny DeVito's voice that said that.
Of course, it's also not Dan Aykroyd. It's fucking Bill
Murray. No, yeah, I know. That's the joke, but it's just, as a child, I never knew who Danny DeVito was, but as an adult, I very much know who Danny DeVito was, and I'm remembering the voice and saying, that was Danny DeVito in that role, wasn't
it? I didn't know that, actually.
He's like Phil from Hercules as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that I did.
Yeah. Laudiusus.
Sorry, I just had a really weird moment in my head right now. I like puked all over myself and woke up sweating. Like came out of a fugue state.
Emperor Rez is showing up in the sound waves.
Exactly.
So they ask for his help. Then one of the agents reaches under the table, gives him money and the secret agent suit. He agrees. Then the two agents give him a map and they say they want Emperor Rez to disappear, in quotations. Instructing him to hide the body between Jimmy Hoffa's and Spud McKenzie's.
That's great.
What is the reference?
Jimmy Hoffa was like a union worker.
Okay.
Who like was disappeared at some point. Yeah. Like, so weirdly enough, the new movie that came out, The Irishman, stars somebody playing Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, okay.
But he was like a union boss who got too big for his britches at some point, and like the conspiracy is like the government took him out.
Okay,
and Spuds McKenzie was a beer mascot who was a dog.
It's a dog beer
mascot.
And
like stopped being the mascot one day, and like, did the dog die, or did, you know, they just like change marketing campaigns? But it was this whole thing like, oh, Spuds McKenzie's dead.
Yeah. Okay.
So funnily enough, Ted Cruz, the Republican senator. Like, Trump had said
tweeted porn.
He did do that.
He did tweet
porn.
He was trying to look it up.
fucking Trump said something about Ted Cruz being the murderer, the Black Dahlia murderer or whatever.
Okay.
Whatever.
Zodiac killer?
The Zodiac killer, yeah, that's it, yeah.
That was the big thing with Ted Cruz.
And then Ted Cruz just, like, turned around, he's like, yeah, actually, the president is correct, I am the Zodiac killer, and, Jimmy Hoffa's buried in the front yard. Like, he just, like, came back to that. So he's just, like, someone who has disappeared, like, in the past, for, like, so with the mob and the government, so yeah. that's why.
Hide behind the two missing things.
Yeah.
Two very, very media pop culture-y references to dead bodies.
Yeah, cool. Exactly. Yeah.
So Gex
that's
goes
an evergreen reference.
It's on brand. Yeah.
Gex goes into the media.
I don't know
dimension,
about Spud McKenzie.
And he navigates through several channels: Toon TV, Scream TV, Rocket Channel, Circuit Central, Kung Fu Theater, the Prehistory Channel.
I love how Chinatown has become Kung Fu Theater now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Channel Z.
Those movies are pretty good, though.
Yeah.
I love a good kung fu flick. Yeah, man. A good 70s, 80s kung fu flick,
Hong
man.
Hong Kong cinema.
Oh, my
dudes.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drunken Master.
So, Gex navigates through Rizopolis once again, and he fights Rez again. And so,
Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails?
Do they make real puns?
Emperor Rez. Probably.
Oh, my God.
Might
yeah.
as well. So, the way that Gex beats him is he drops a giant TV on Emperor Rez's head.
Okay.
Okay.
Can't believe it took this long to happen. But. Yeah.
Emperor Rez.
Does it have a picture of an anvil on the screen?
Yeah.
take $4 billion worth of rear projection CRT, my dude.
Yep. So, once again, Rez turns into a ball of energy. And he, this time he's trapped in the same TV that Gex drops on him. And then Emperor Rez begs Gex to let him out of the TV and even bribes him. But Gex turns the TV off.
He's already had one bribe today.
Yeah.
From the government.
Yeah. The government?
The government.
Do you guys know the Pandemonium video games? Have you ever heard of these? No. I don't know them. So the way the game ends is Gex is last seen in a hotel room with Nikki from the Pandemonium video games. So I don't know.
Seen with another character from another video game?
Yeah.
You can keep talking. I'll do another Google while you talk thing.
Cool, cool. So I guess she would just be the attractive love interest, and that would be that. So next up, that's Gex 1. He goes through all of the media dimensions. He inherits a bunch of money, and he beats Emperor Rez, goes away. Emperor Rez comes back.
Flashing on the TV.
Yes.
Gets abducted by the CIA.
Hits him over the head.
Has
gives
to
him
stage
money
a coup in TV land,
yep.
the South American country.
All for money in a suit. Yeah. And then he once again beats him and then goes off to a hotel with Nikki from Pandemonium.
I have never in my life, I'm looking at pictures of Pandemonium right now, I have never in my life seen a picture of the Pandemonium video game.
Is cover Nikki
art,
there?
Cover art, I assume so. She's like a redhead with a bob and like...
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's there for sure. That's definitely her. It's a PS1 title from Crystal Dynamics.
Oh, it's from Crystal Dynamics.
That makes sense for the crossover.
Yeah.
Crystal Dynamics and maybe PAL? I don't know.
Yep. So the last we see of Emperor Rez is he's on the TV and the TV gets shut off. But once again, he escapes because he does come back in the third.
So yeah, he disappears into another.
Speaking of dated references, do you remember that children's PSA with the TV that wanted you to go play outside?
That's a Canadian one only.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Planet Danger?
Get that cat
no,
off my head.
No, not Astar.
Oh, yeah. somebody get that cat off my head.
So go outside. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of, it's just been telling kids to go outside through the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first iteration. That was like the pilot of the Netflix Are You Still Watching thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, Astar from Planet Danger was like...
we've talked about all these before.
Specifically
sure.
for like industrial accidents. Like don't
No,
play.
It was
it's
war
just,
amps.
It
was yeah, don't stick your hand in a lawnmower, kid.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You don't know cool. what's going to happen.
Yeah, if you see a bunch of machinery, don't fuck around.
Yeah.
Gex 3, Deep Cover Gecko, 1999. So we're the ripe age of 8 years old.
Yeah. The millennium's coming up fast.
The 30th anniversary of the sexiest year of the 20th century. Yeah.
It's 8 years old. Nice. Ethan is fully grown at this point. He's the same size at 8 years old as he ever will be.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that was it.
6'1".
I am not small. I was freakishly large.
Okay.
Gangly as I am today, I was ganglier then.
11 years yet to fill out.
So... After defeating Emperor Rez a second time, Gex retreats back to his mansion once again, and is looking after by his newly hired butler, a tortoise named Alfred.
Why'd you
that
say
was a
tortoise?
Weird way to say tortoise.
Tortoise.
That was a really weird way to say the word tortoise.
My pop filter,
which is a normal English human word.
My pop filter was in front of my
my phone, I like had to use my computing power to move my phone.
You're ad-libbing. It was like everything but the E, like T-O-R-T-O-I-S. You're like, what could this word be? Tortoise.
Well,
Tortoisian.
Before we turned on this, I tried to say Gex, and I went, Jex, Dex, Gex. So the tortoise named Alfred.
We sure do have fun here, laughing at each other's mistakes.
So Gex,
we're professional podcasters.
I guess he's getting older, Gex, because right now he's watching the news.
Oh yeah, he's a boomer now.
Yeah. And then Agent
just 24 hours a day, Fox News, fucking mainline it into his veins. Like,
so I didn't mean to bother that one guy. No hard R. He's a boomer.
Yeah.
Agent Extra. Contacts him through his TV. So I was trying to figure out who the love interest was before the podcast, and Agent Extra, you'd think it'd be another lizard animated. Maybe it'd be a mechanical lizard like Rez. No, it is just a busty blonde babe.
And I assume this is like a Command & Conquer Red Alert situation.
And
where
it's
like
live
the
action.
The cutscenes are live action.
Right. It's live action. Yeah, it's live action.
So it's just this sexy blonde babe with a lizard. And she's just, like, talking to a lizard on her hand.
Yeah. So picture,
this is Loreboy's canon. I've never played the game.
Picture, I got a screenshot before this. Picture a TV in front of us, and it's live action, and it's this beautiful, blonde, busty lady, and then...
Okay, I'm picturing.
Just in front of the TV, they're facing towards the TV, you're kind of from behind it, you see a very polygoned...
Yeah,
lizard.
A 1999 level lizard.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like a 3D printed in 1999, yeah. Like lizard.
Oh, it's not 3D printed. It is like lizard. It is the in-game graphics.
Just in front of. And it's like the foreground. Like the depth perception is really fucked up, where it looks like it's just like on the screen when you're like looking at your TV.
He's barely smoother than origami.
Yeah. Like if you're in a place with lizards, you might be like, get that lizard off the screen. I can't see the video game. Like, yeah.
So this one sold the most out of all of them. Maybe
wonder
it was.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Agent Extra had some impact on that, or maybe it's just 1999 and people
double
have Hextra, video.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Maybe it's 1999 and people have video game systems at this point too.
It's the third game in a series. Maybe one and two were relatively successful, so it's like
sequel set a trend up.
Yeah.
In video games, not movies.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the movie, but
I rented.
Look
it
at you, Avengers Endgame and Star Wars and. A bunch of other ones, I guess.
Yeah, probably others.
I don't know if Avengers ever beat Avatar. It was close.
Titanic 2, never as popular as the first one.
No, there's two. there are two Titanic 2s, though.
Titanic 2, just where they're, like, picking up the wreckage.
Yeah. No, I've seen Titanic 2. It's even stupider. It's like somebody wrote a very brief script where a big chunk of, like, a Greenland glacier collapses into the ocean and sends a tsunami across the world, and there's a bunch of people on a ship that's just called the Titanic 2, and they're like, we did it again.
What are you talking about? Yeah, this is not a real thing.
It is absolutely a real
thing. I'm going to kill everybody in Hollywood.
It is made, it's made by like the Asylum, basically.
Peter, I should have known you were going to shine on the pop culture episode.
Yeah, yeah. Because that is insane. One of my favorite jokes / wholesome thoughts is that when the Titanic sank, all the lobsters on board got a second shot.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
They're just in their tanks. They're like, oh shit, everything's underwater now.
Yeah, they could just like live inside of like some rich people.
Yeah, they could definitely live a lobster. Actually, lobsters can live indefinitely. Certain lobsters
can. From what
can.
I understand.
So
yeah.
That's it. From what science understands.
How quickly do predators like start to inhabit the Titanic, though? Or is it like a haven for lobsters?
So I know they ballasted like most of the doors where like they like automatically sealed shut.
You gotta
whenever
keep the Irish down there.
Yeah, exactly. dark, but you're not wrong.
Yeah.
So like they got free, but there's half a chance that they got free and they were completely trapped. But like probably the kitchens were like higher up where the serving would actually happen, right? Yeah. So maybe they were like actually free.
What if the pressure was too great for the lobsters though? Like I don't know how deep they can live.
I would have thought maybe too cold. I don't know if they live in the North Atlantic like that, but they live off the coast of Newfoundland and Nova Scotia, so.
Yeah.
But that's like out of the pan into the nature, like there's something that just eats
Out of the lobster tank into the Atlantic Ocean,
like
as they say.
It's a bunch of like unskilled millennial lobsters who don't know how to live in the ocean.
Yeah.
They drowned with a bunch of avocado
toast. They all drowned. All these domesticated lobsters all drowned with the exact
these unskilled, unskilleted fish.
That's it. They knew how to host a podcast, but that's about it.
Yeah, useless otherwise.
Oh man,
sounds like someone I know.
So
he can't get these fucking elastic bands off my hands, guys.
Can't answer my phone.
Much as the Titanic 2 writers retreated to their homes, Gex retreated back to his home in Maui, which was looked after by his newly hired butler. I said that.
The tortoise.
Agent Extra contacts him through the TV and says that Emperor Rez kidnapped her. So a really beautiful lady kidnapped by the cyber lizard.
Classic video game setup. Lizard steals lady.
Yep.
Boom. Cyber lizard steals lady.
Hell yeah.
Gex uses a secret entrance to the media dimension that he calls the Gex Cave. And he has...
I want to visit your Gex Cave later.
He has a butler named Alfred.
A bunch of pictures of... Tom Brady's son.
Yeah.
My Gex Cave. Just ignore those. It's like showing it to Alfred for the first time. You could just ignore those.
Clean around them.
Yeah.
1999 gifts of him with a long kiss on his side. All right. So Gex, we're already at the middle part where he just navigates through all the channels. This time they are Holiday Mystery, Ancient Egyptian, Army. Western.
Army. The Army channel.
Well, there's a military channel.
Is there?
Yeah. It's like Discovery, but all the shows are just about, like...
God bless America.
Military hardware.
This morning, I was really into, like, Medal of Honor stories of, like, these guys who have, like, one arm blown off and then, like, kill, like, 20 people with one hand
there
left.
There was an Ask Reddit today, which was, like...
That's what I was reading.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Of, like, what are the...
The most badass person of all time.
Yeah. There's this one guy who, stabbed a knife in the ground and said, like, the Japanese are not passing this point.
Was it the Japanese? I think it was the Chinese.
No, it was Japanese.
Oh, it was the Chinese.
I opened his wiki page and I read it. Yeah. Like, and then I
was reading in the car today.
Yeah, he was an Indian soldier. There's like a name for it. They use like those forward curved blades.
Yeah.
They're badass. There's a story of them like saying like, "Oh, we're gonna drop you behind enemy lines," and the captain looks out the window of the plane and says, "You'll need to bring the plane lower." And they're like, "No, we don't want to be in missile range." But the captain thought they were just jumping out of the plane without parachutes. He's just like, it's not a problem. Just bring the plane lower. Traveling.
Is that like bravery or is that just not understanding how fast a plane moves?
Just tuck and roll.
Yeah, yeah, tuck and roll at 600 miles an hour.
Anyways, this guy, they're coming at them. There's like 300 people coming at them.
This is still Gex, right?
This is the military
level of Gex.
Throws another grenade back into his trench. Two grenades come in. He throws it back. Third one throws back, blows up his right hand and like injures his face and leg and arm very badly. He starts loading his rifle with his left hand only and shoots. There's 300 people. He killed at least 40 of them with only one arm, saying, like, "You will not pass this knife," he stabbed in the ground.
Shit.
Yeah. And then
it was 31. It's the Gurkhas, and his name is Lakhiman Gurung.
Yeah.
And it was in Burma, now Myanmar.
Myanmar,
but I guess he was an Indian, and from the wiki page.
Yeah, it was insane. Another one that I read, there was a guy who he shot off a bunch of people, and then he was about to die, and they left him. Like, already, he's a huge hero, and he picked up a bazooka, because, like, they couldn't get into this... people across from him, picked up a bazooka, opens up the way for everyone to get in. He kills a bunch of people. He gets hurt so badly that he says, "Don't carry me back. I don't want to take two people out." So then they give him a soldier's pistol and lean him up against a tree. Eight shots. They found him later with eight people dead around him, and he died against the tree. So, like, made every shot count.
That's fucking awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like... Wow.
That's why Gex 3 sold fucking 6 million.
Jesus.
It featured all these stories in the military.
So that's
an army.
Army channel.
In Gex, you're the ninth soldier who ends up killing him against the tree.
Very somber.
That's just so nonchalant. You move to the next room.
That's it. You run up. You're like, "Haha, you're out of ammo, fool."
Okay,
you like spout off some like witty quip that's like from some other show, like
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah.
So we'll go on with the rest of the channels, I guess. Army, Western, Pirate, Greek mythology, fairy tale, anime, mafia.
There's an anime channel. Yeah. Oh shit, there's a weeb channel. Come on.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Features JoJo. Fucking.
Ugh.
You do the Akira slide in it.
Gex turns into that big melting baby at the end.
Then after anime, they had to toughen it up a bit.
Extra, help me.
They put Mafia after anime because they got to toughen up.
Okay. That's where you find Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
Then Superhero, where you find the beer drinking dog.
Yeah. Oh, naturally.
Spence McKenzie.
And after that, last but not least, Channel Z that has Rezopolis.
This does sound like a much longer game. There's a hell of a lot more levels.
Yeah. It's the third one.
Yeah.
Again, I think, especially like in the 90s. Video games were kind of trending that way because they were like, we realize we have like the memory and the storage capacity to make longer games, and like people are interested in them, so let's do it.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're like, we've kind of plateaued, I guess.
Memory as
where
well.
Where it's like now you build a game based on how long you want it to be, which is fine. As somebody who like finds themselves with much, much less free time, a shorter game is very appealing to me, where I'm just like, yeah, something that, with a good story that I could just crank out in a couple
hours.
Is good to me. Like, yeah,
just
exactly.
End, fuck.
How much memory can you fit on a portable thing in 1995 versus 1999? He goes through
Gex
all
season pass to get the Mafia level.
He goes through all those channels, and after that he goes to an enormous space station above Earth. So unlike he gets all the things in the media thing, in the media dimension, then he actually has to go to real moon or real space station above Earth.
Oh, okay.
And he battles Rez in real life. And unlike the previous two times, Emperor Rez does not transform into a ball of energy. Instead, he explodes into several pieces, possibly meaning that he is truly dead.
Officially the last installment.
Just to tie it all up, Gex is last seen in a hotel room as the last game he finished in a hotel room with a game with Agent Extra, who's telling him about her time in the media dimension.
Wait, now is Extra spelled with three X's or like?
No, it's just X-T-R-A.
Okay.
Okay, that's too bad, actually.
That is a bit extra, honestly.
Yeah. Well, the E would be extra.
Oh, yeah.
Alfred contacts Gex.
That's a bit intra?
Sure. Alfred contacts Gex saying there's an emergency. However, Gex disconnects the computer and ignores him and gets it on with a real-life lady, I guess. And that's the end of Gex, and that's where it ended.
So it ends with a lizard fucking a woman.
Hell yeah, brother. Yeah.
He learned a lot on the anime channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's Gex, guys. What do you think?
I think it's hilarious. I'm sad that I missed out on that as a child, because it's fucking wild.
I don't know if they've remastered it or anything. I don't think they've remastered it, but maybe you can get it on, like, PS Now or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't wait for the...
get at me.
Yeah, like, what would it be? Like, the Gex SD version, where he's like on a tube TV or something like that, where you get the SD trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. If you want to find me on the internet, you can find me at JAYMILK64 on Steam. That's where I'm plugging today.
Sure.
What? I'm at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter and at Loreboys Podcast on the Instagram. Come check out my pets and my drawings.
Hey guys, leave us a review on iTunes if you like the show.
Yes.
Tell
or the podcast service of your choice.
Tell your friends if you like the show. Leave a review somewhere else if you like the show. iTunes does help more than other ones, but anything helps. Tell your friends. Leave a review on Amazon for us. Create a product category for us, and then leave a review on it.
That's a good idea.
Saying we're great. You can find me at Ethan the Deadman. You can find Loreboys at Loreboys on Twitter. Tweet at us. Tweet your criticisms, your corrections, your friendly remarks, your requests for new episodes, all that stuff. We do have a Discord. The link's online. You can find it.
This episode's a request, actually.
This episode was a request. I was scrolling through our Discord for a while there. I wasn't ignoring you guys. I was looking for who requested this. I want to say Woody, but it might not have been Woody. I don't know. Somebody requested this episode from us, and we've forgotten who, because it was like a month ago that they requested it.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that we... You know, we're putting him on the back burner, but we did Woody's Armored Core last week, and we had the Extra Life, I guess, last week, and Armored Core was
And we did more Mass Effect as well. The issue is, it's not like it's slow, it's just the fact that like four requests does take a month.
Well, yeah, we got lots of requests, and we want to hear more, so crunch at us if you got them sitting out there.
I'm tired of thinking, so you do it for me, and I'll write your show for you.
We do have a Patreon. Just search the Loreboys on Patreon, you'll find us. There's lots of tiers for any amount that you guys can help. It's as low as $3 a month. If you could afford it, we super, super appreciate it. Helps us cover a bit of cost, because we do this purely for fun, and it's like a nice thing to not have to worry about having having to pay the bill at the end of every month.
Yeah.
With mics and subscriptions and all that other stuff. Yeah. Anybody who likes the show and doesn't trust Patreon, we always have offered Lore Boys Premium, which is just kind of the Wild West of Patreon subscriptions, I guess.
We're the last frontier, really. We're the Deadwood of subscription services.
Yeah. So for this month or this week on Patreon on Lore Boys Premium, we are offering a pretty special offer. So originally we were going to have two offers, both at the same price, both priced at $22.42 each. One of them was the opportunity to go on a date with a hot, busty babe. Turns out we can't get a hot, busty babe to talk to us, really, so that's not going to happen. But we the other offer was a date with a lizard. So we'll buy a lizard. If you subscribe, we'll buy you a lizard to go on a date with, to take out on a date.
As long as you end up in a hotel room and hang out the phone on us at the end.
You know, have to pay for the hotel room, which is your own cost. But you could do it. You could just, like, create a mock hotel room in your own apartment or house or wherever, and you could do it there. The lizard won't care.
Lizards aren't that busy. They're surprisingly easy to schedule around.
And to Jamie's point, Jamie is pretty insistent that he wants you to hang up the phone whenever you're done. I want you to leave the phone off the hook. I want you to put the phone down. I want to hear all those good sounds, whatever you're going to be
doing.
Dirty
lizard noises.
Nice. If you're going to
toys.
Yeah. toys. If you're going to be playing some video games, if you're going to be playing some pandemonium in your hotel room, by all means, I want to hear all the pandemonium sounds.
Yep.
And I guess that constitutes a Lore Boys
out.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.